By Geico, good morning, Field and Matthew hanging out with you. It is Wednesday of week one. Daniel and, of course, Stefania is here as well. Stefania hanging out from her comfy accommodations of her home. We're one day away from football. That's good. It's good news, Matthew. We're just one day away from the NFL regular season beginning. You can sort of feel the energy. We have things like season previews and predictions of MVPs and Super Bowls and all that.
I'm working on week one love hate.
Really? And when does that debut?
I got tomorrow, okay. Thursday, like it has every Thursday during the regular season for like 20 years.
I knew that.
Okay.
But this is like when they tell us, hey, not everybody listens to every show, so you got to remind them. Or like, hey, not everybody gets every joke. So when I'm on the streets of Boston and people are saying like, so why do they call him the secret squirrel? I don't quite get it. I don't want to ask because I'm afraid, I'm sort of a little embarrassed to concede that I don't know why we call her a cone and all those things.
Sure. We had at one point a glossary.
We did.
We had an 0610 glossary. I don't know what happened to it, Secret Scroll. Can you look into that?
Sure. It still exists. I just don't think it's been updated since.
I think it's on the website. You know what, though?
ESPN.com. Someone should update it. And by someone, I mean Kyle.
I think Keith does that. Keith very sneakily does a lot of stuff on the website for like board bets and the glossary.
He does all the board bets for sure.
Yeah. Thank you, Not Cool Keith. Very cool of you, Not Cool Keith.
We got a lot to get to today. And
we should have done an episode where it was literally just we explain everything in the 0610. So you're brand new to the area. You know what I mean? You're brand new to the zip code, and we could have just gone through the entire thing and just pinned it there so that anyone that would have been a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. We should have had that idea.
File that one away for the 2021 offseason.
Yeah. For next offseason. Anyway, the fact of the matter is that I'm still in the middle of a draft. We have our big War Room League draft tonight. Me, you, Stefania Bell, and many others here at ESPN.
Matt Harrington, my co-partner on the team.
That's right. The brains, what a lot of people would term the brains of the Irish twins. Matt Harrington, our producer.
Yes.
You are the face. He is the brains.
I don't know. Co-faces. Him, he's the exclusive brain.
He's definitely the exclusive brain.
Yeah.
I always feel like that's how people look at our podcast, the face and the brains.
Listen.
I'm clearly not eligible for the face. Give me something.
Fair enough.
That's all I'm asking.
Let's get to some news or noise.
Extra, read all about it.
News or noise.
Loud noises!
He said it, not me.
I know. I understand, Field. We're going to start right here.
Because it's obvious. I'm always amazed at people. I will say, look, I have a lot of weaknesses. But if I may be right, fair, I have a lot of flaws. I'm a flawed human being, as all of us are. But I would argue that one of my strengths, and I don't have a lot of them, but I would argue, Daniel Dopp, feel free to weigh in on this because you know me very well.
Yes.
I would argue that one of my strengths is that I think I'm actually self-aware. Like I know what I do well and I know what I don't do well. I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not good at.
I would agree with all of
that. And I'm very, whatever. Look at me next to you. This sucks. I liked it so much better when it was an audio podcast. No one would have to see me next to you. And now I spend my life next to you 6 days out of my life because we do this podcast every day. And then Sunday, Fantasy Football Nowadays debuts. Me and you and Stefania Bell.
That's right. We can't wait
for
that.
There's two very attractive people and then freaking me. It's a bummer is what it is. Stefania's just smiling to herself because she knows. Yeah. She's like trying to think.
I'm not going to weigh in.
Too modest to say anything. Stefania knows better.
You can see it in her mind. Don't take the bait. Mario, get me back. This is somehow a trap. Don't take the bait.
Seriously. This is going to come back to rear itself somehow. So let's just get to news or noise.
Yeah, sir.
Something we regret. Daniel, what is newsy or noisy today?
We're going to kick it off with Leonard Fournette. Bruce Arians said he will have a, quote, solid role in week one. Field Yates, is that news or noise to you?
All right, so it's news, but I don't want to deal with Buccaneers running back updates anymore, right? It's news because, but is it news? It's noise. Here's the reason why it's news, Matthew, is that it confirms what all of our suspicions were, which was that when Bruce Arians committed to Ronald Jones 18 times this offseason and another 11 times during the preseason, he was being misleading towards us, right?
Yeah.
You don't sign Leonard Fournette, give him $2.5 million, and expect him to just come in and carry the ball five times a game. He's going to have a role, no kidding.
Yeah, exactly. So 100% it's noise. And it's noise for a few reasons. Number one is, look, he says, you know, Leonard Fournette will have a solid role. For all we know, that just may mean that, like, at the pregame meal.
He gets a jersey?
Yeah, at the pregame meal, he's just going to get, you know, he's going to get a roll with some butter or something like that. You know, just that's what he means by solid role.
Yeah.
The other thing is that, no, obviously, look, Leonard Fournette, once he cleared waivers, had options. People were willing, you know what I mean? Like,
right. He's
an experienced running back who's had success in the NFL. I'm sure the Tampa Bay Buccaneers weren't the only team that called his agent. So the fact is that he went to Tampa Bay for a few reasons. One is, you know, a chance to play with Tom and a chance to win a title. But also, you know, because I'm sure they said, we're going to use you. Here's how we will use you. And so he thought that he had, you know, a good chance at getting legit playing time. In terms for us, for fantasy managers, what's actionable here? Absolutely nothing. To your point, Field, I want no part of this backfield until at least we get some semblance of what it looks like, of what the Buccaneers offense looks like under Tom Brady. I mean, it's going to be a completely new, I mean, it's not even like he's coming into the Jameis Winston offense from last year. We have no idea what this offense looks like with Brady, with Gronk, and with Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette there. And last thing here about Bruce Arians is kind of a sneaky Shanahan. I mean, think about last year. Hey, Thirsty Kyle, maybe you can look this up. But I can't think about how many times, I feel like last year, like Peyton Barber would have a huge year game. And we'd all be
on
like,
occasion,
It's Peyton Barber. Okay, Peyton Barber's the guy. And then the very next week, he'd
Ronald
have like
Jones.
Five carries and it's Ronald Jones. They're like, all right, great. So now we know it's Ronald Jones. And then the next week, like neither of them would do it. And then Dari Ogunbowale got like 15 touches.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
It felt like very game script dependent and just sort of depend on hot hand, very much hot hand. And, you know, Barber was running well. And so anyway, I want, to your point, Field, no part of this Buccaneers offense, and I'm not starting any of these guys unless
Buccaneers
I'm desperate in week one.
Buccaneers backfield.
Thank you. Yes, Buccaneers backfield. I'm all in on Brady and Evans and
right.
You know, Godwin and Gronk. But yes, I want no part of the Buccaneers backfield until we at least get some semblance of what this offense looks like. Ideally, you're not starting any of these guys on Sunday until we get a sense.
Right.
And not a good matchup with the Saints anyway.
We may discuss this backfield once more on Friday, but understanding this is one of our last shots to say anything about this backfield before the games begin, I still think if any Bucks back, and I think you'd agree with this, ends up emerging as a weekly fantasy star, it's going to be Leonard Fournette, and I know that there are a lot of discouraging metrics and a lot of bad tape from the past 2 years specifically, but this is still a player that went fourth overall. I do believe there are people within the NFL that think Leonard Fournette could look like an entirely different player in Tampa circumstances, winning atmosphere potentially, you know, an offense that doesn't necessarily need to be built around him. He could end up having a very useful fantasy season. But for now, we have exhausted our Bucks preseason running back talk.
I will just to put one final pin on that. I agree with that statement. You know that I am not a Leonard Fournette fan. He was on the preseason hate list. I think that's been proven right, regardless of what happens with Tampa Bay. Like the argument when I put it in there was Jacksonville. I don't think he makes this team potentially, and that's what ended up happening. But I will say, wide range of outcomes for Leonard Fournette, and it certainly would not shock me if he winds up with 12 touchdowns this year.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a good offense. They're very efficient. They get in close, and they give it to the hammer that is Fournette, who obviously, you know, listen, stayed healthy last year. You know, stayed healthy last year and really have it. Oh, by the way, Thirsty Kyle just texted me. As long as we're still on the Bucks, we'll get off it here in a second. But Thirsty Kyle just texted me in case you were wondering. Go ahead, Thirsty Kyle. What do you got?
Can we? There wasn't a single time last season in which a Buccaneer running back got 15 plus carries in multiple games.
So there wasn't a one more time.
No running back for Tampa Bay had 15 carries in consecutive games last year.
I mean. Yeah, that's not quite sneaky Shanahan. I get it.
They also didn't have good running backs last year. Like, no offense.
I'm not quite as enamored by the back-to-back games, 15 plus carries. Like, it's actually fairly. But I would just say that to Daniel's point, much different set of running backs.
I love
much them. Different set of running backs. But my point is that they couldn't settle on a guy last year.
Right, they couldn't. So yes.
So we shall see. By the way, cut to 3 weeks from now, and we're talking up Keyshawn Vaughn. Right, he's just crushing. Well, LeSean McCoy looks like a new guy.
Right,
like
course,
it's fuck me.
All right, let's keep this thing rolling here, Daniel. What else?
All right, next up, James Conner was labeled by Mike Tomlin as the feature back. News or noise, Matthew Berry? I know you are a James Conner
fader.
Yeah,
fader. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is news. I do think this is news. You're just hearing a lot of that out of Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin is not a guy that I feel like plays games with the media. Some coaches do. Yeah. I think Mike Tomlin is very much a...
I think he's a straighter shooter.
He's a straight shooter.
Yeah.
So, he has no blanks left to give, which is one of the things I love about Tomlin. Tomlin sure. Press conferences,
totally.
You know what I mean?
It's fun.
So, anyway, I just sort of think that I think this is somewhat news. Look, James Conner has struggled with injuries. He's missed multiple games every year of his NFL career, but he has, you know, top 10 fantasy running back potential. We've seen it as early as 2018. We expect this offense to be a lot better with Big Ben. I still believe he has trouble staying healthy. We heard Stefania talk about it the other day in terms of his running style, where he lowers his shoulder, that he is more prone to potentially being injured because of the style of play that he has. Having said that, though, where he's going in terms of ADP, he's going outside the top 20 running backs. I think he's probably still a value this year.
I've been consistent. He was my pick for sleeper running back.
Yeah.
I know that sounds ridiculous when it's James Conner, but how we define a sleeper is a guy who could well outperform his ADP and end up as a top five player at his position. I've been consistent with that all offseason. I do believe that eventually, push comes to shove, James Conner will look like one of the better values that we have in fantasy football this year. Go ahead.
So last year in our War Room League, the ESPN War Room League that we do, the 16-team league here, James Conner was like my second. I had the 16th pick again last year. And I went Gurley and James Conner in the first round last year.
Yeah.
And so James Conner was so frustrating to have on your roster last year because he was constantly, not only did he get hurt over the second half of the season, he was constantly in and out of the lineup. He was constantly hurt. It was like, you know, oh, this is the week. Nope, he's not. So last year when I had him on my roster, I was just like, especially in a 16-team league where there's just no depth at all on the waiver wire, I was just like, never again with James Conner, never again. So I was in a 16-team league last night draft, not ours that we're doing tonight, but a different 16-team league. Drafted James Conner.
what a scintillating story.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See, there you go. You've got the looks, but I am a master storyteller.
Entertainment.
There you go.
There. Okay,
infotainment is what that
here.
Was. My point is just merely that, like, that I've come around on James Conner. Like, just
you
like
get to a point where the value is too good. You can't just, you know, you can't.
That's
pass
what
out.
Happened. I was in the third round of my draft, and I was just like, you know, he's sort of the last bell cow, but left back.
Okay.
All right.
Let's move
next
forward.
Up.
Next up, Daniel.
Field Yates. Sony Michel will likely be eased into action per our very own Mike Reese. Do you believe that is news or noise on Sony Michel?
I believe it's news because I think this is a good opportunity for a PSA. No matter whether you're a Patriots fan or not, I will tell you this. I mean this sincerely. It's not because he's one of my closest friends in the world, but I don't think there's a single person covering a team in any sport who covers the team as well as Mike Reese covers the Patriots. I think he's the best beat reporter that I know of in sports right now. So when he says something, you better take note of it, right? And so I'm taking note of his assessment that Sony Michel could be eased into the lineup early on in the season. Here I was yesterday thinking to myself, like, maybe Sony Michel could be a week one sneaky play, right? Because as we talked about, obviously Damian Harris put on IR, Lamar Miller is gone into the wind, and maybe not. So it sounds like Sony Michel might actually be a player that in week one you want to proceed with caution with. So I think it's news.
James White season. White.
Well, it could
week
certainly.
One. It's, well, James White week might, one
but
season.
Maybe the season, right? I know that we, part of the rhetoric surrounding James White this offseason, as it is most seasons, is he's not a league winner. At the same time, Cam Newton does have a track record of playing with some pretty talented running backs as pass catchers that have gone on to have some great years. Obviously, the apex is, of course, Christian McCaffrey, but he's made some stars, and I think James White, maybe star is like too lathered on too thick of an assessment, but James White is one of the most, I know the Patriots value him as one of their best and most reliable players. Like, literally has never fumbled.
Yeah.
It's been league for like 7 years. Like,
yeah.
I fumbled my breakfast twice this morning. I spilled coffee. Wasn't my, not on this shirt, don't worry.
Okay, I was going to say, like, did you have to take out your Tide
pen? Went right to the dry cleaner. That's right, yeah. Let's get Stefania's assessment on this. Obviously,
yeah.
Stefania, medical expert extraordinaire. What do you think about this, Sony Michel, the idea he could be eased into action due to this foot issue?
And by the way, before you answer, Stefania, I want you to comment on the fact that Field somehow used the word lather into talking about James White. Go ahead.
Now, I'm going to leave the lather part out of this.
Fair.
Let's talk about the fact that Sony Michel is going to be eased back in. I think This actually makes sense, and it doesn't come as a huge surprise to me. I love that Mike Reese is confirming this, but if you think about it, the Patriots probably haven't got an expectation that Sony Michel can handle a huge workload at any point. The knee has been an ongoing issue for him since he was drafted. Then he has this surgery on his foot in the offseason, a relatively minor procedure, but he just got back into practice 2 weeks ago and came off the PUP list. They were never planning on using him a lot, and I think just because Damian Harris goes on IR doesn't really change that strategy. It's why the Patriots have the depth that they do. They're very well prepared for this. So I appreciate that Mike has laid it out for us so nicely, but I probably didn't expect Sony Michel to have a huge workload, not this week or any week for that matter.
Or any week for that matter. Interesting. That's a interesting. That is a very interesting statement. Look, I've said this all along, that I want, similar to the Buccaneers backfield, I want no part of the Patriots backfield, because not only do they have a lot of guys there, but they're all competing with Cam Newton. You know, there's always a chance that when they get in close, Cam's keeping it. Like, if there's one guy, I would agree with you that I think it's James White here. But for people that are not clear, is on Damian Harris in the IR, can he come back at any point? Is he done for the year? Because that's new. I think
new.
That may have flew under the radar for a lot of people.
Noting that you must sit out at least 3 weeks,
right,
if you are placed on IR, but you can bring an indefinite number of players back from IR. The only part of that rule that was slid under the radar that an executive passed along to me, so better look into this a little bit, is that if a player is brought off of IR. He starts practicing and does not return to the active roster by the time his practice window expires, which is 21 days, excuse me.
Yeah.
The team has to cut that player.
Wow.
So let's just say the Patriots bring Damian Harris back. You know that he is definitely coming back. In previous years, you could bring a player back from IR, and if he didn't progress accordingly, you just put him back on IR. You say, right, you know what, you're done for the year. Now you got to cut him. So when players are brought back,
they're playing.
They're playing.
Wow. Or at least they're being put on the active roster.
They will be back on the active roster.
Right.
No doubt. Yes. Okay. All right, Daniel, keep going. This is all you and Stefania coming up.
Absolutely. Stefania, going to come to you. Jalen Reagor is, quote, looking good to debut in week two. So says John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tell us the latest on Jalen Reagor and whether or not we should be concerned. News or noise on this?
I think it's news. Jalen Reagor's had a great preseason, obviously no games, but he clearly had the ability to be in the starting lineup for the Eagles. You have Marquise Goodwin opted out, Alshon Jeffrey still recovering from the foot injury, and while they didn't put him on PUP, he's not going to be ready for week one. And so Jalen Reagor was really expected to have a nice opportunity here. Then he injures his shoulder on a tackle in practice, expected out maybe up to 4 weeks. The fact that he looks so good in two, you know, in just a week's time and could be back by week two is very good news.
Okay, Stefania, let's move ahead and talk about Brandon Cooks real quick. Obviously, we'll talk about him tomorrow as well with the game, but he missed practice again yesterday with that quad injury. News or noise on Brandon Cooks?
I think it's news. You know, yesterday it was just coming off of a preseason where he had missed a fair amount of practice and it was considered controlled workload. Did a little digging. Legitimate question mark for this week.
Okay, last one here, Stefania. Devontae Parker back at practice this week. News or noise for his week one availability?
I think it's noise. I mean, it's news if you have him on your roster, if you were worried at all, hamstring issue, but I never thought it was going to cost him time, and this basically confirms it, and Brian Flores expects him to practice again today.
Absolutely. All right, Stefania, do you have a live read in front of you? It's very possible you don't.
I might.
But it's possible you do. Why don't you tell us about it?
Because some of us prepare for the show.
What is that like? Stefania, what's that like? How do you prepare for the show? I've never heard of this.
You need to hire some people to help you get prepared, Matthew.
Stefania, are you available for lessons?
Right. That's right. That's right. You can perhaps... So many responses. But Matthew, you can hire yourself a tutor. And you know how you can do that?
How?
Because when it comes to scoring great hires for your business, which in your case is needing tutorials on how to prepare, you may be up against some obstacles, like lots of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job, or finding time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier.
But Stefania, I don't want to pay. Stefania, I don't want to pay.
Don't make me laugh. I was just stopping laughing. And now you can try it for free, Matthew, for free. You can get help for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites.
Then what happens?
Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you. They hustle for you, Matthew, to find people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply.
Do you have any stats for me?
Check out this stat. I do, in fact. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game.
How do I try for free?
For free! Go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Thanks, Stefania. That was helpful.
That was great, Stefania. And did you know it's a new season at Sport Clips Haircuts? Our Guy Smart stylists are clean certified. Our stores and processes are better, cleaner, and safer than ever. Get yourself back in the game today with our legendary MVP experience. Enjoy a hot steamed towel, relaxing shampoo, and a winning cut. Nobody knows the value of a great haircut quite like I do. Our Guy Smart stylists are clean certified, and our sanitation processes are better, safer, and cleaner than ever. Check in online today. Select your stylist, get a text when you are up to bat, and walk out with confidence. It's easy and convenient, and you'll feel like an MVP. All right. Rankings are up. They are up every Tuesday afternoon, sometimes even sooner than that.
Yeah, I think Tuesday mornings. I think hopefully we're going to aim for Tuesday mornings.
Tuesday morning would be the goal. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer depending on what people's commitments are early on in the week. But let's dive right into some week one rankings discussions. And of course, we always start with quarterbacks, as Matthew just dove right in there, at least mind the idea of diving into some water.
I'm a master actor.
That's right. We have heard that.
Master thespian.
You belong in an Avengers movie.
Yep.
Let's discuss Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes, sir.
Of course, the Steelers play the New York Giants where and when?
They play on Monday Night Football.
On ESPN, of course.
Yes.
We are both company men. That is the first of two games that we have on Monday night. Herbie and Fowler on the call for this one. Looking forward to our great college play-by-play guys being a part of the Monday night action for week one. Ben Roethlisberger, Matthew, you and I have him as you at 10, me at 9 after a little bit of a correction. Daniel has him at 6. He's available nearly 40% of leagues. I think one of the hard parts for people to remind themselves of is that even though we spend all offseason lining up our season-long rankings, like they can be very disconnected to our week one rankings. And we do not have Ben Roethlisberger as a top 9 or a top 6 quarterback for our season-long rankings. But this may be one of the better matchups that Ben Roethlisberger has for the entire season.
Look, Ben made my love list this year in the preseason. When my love-hate list comes out tomorrow, he's going to be on that as well. Mm. Ben Roethlisberger was, the question with Ben is health. Mm-hmm. He's fully healthy. Stefania gave him a clean bell of health. Now, we'll see if he plays all 16, but at the moment he's fully healthy. Right. It's a great matchup here with the Giants, who we think, once again, will be challenged defensively. We know it's going to be one of the pass-heaviest teams in the NFL, at least we expect that. I'm as a top 7 fantasy quarterback this week against the Giants, who, you know, last year gave up a lot of fantasy points to quarterbacks week after week after week. The home road split issue in 2018 when Ben was the third best quarterback in fantasy went away.
Yeah.
Give me Ben Roethlisberger this week against the Giants.
Yeah, sorry, I said 10 for you earlier. I guess you had an update in your rankings. But
correct.
It's a really great matchup. I know the Giants are going to be probably frisky and competitive this year, and they're going to be very exciting on offense. But defensively, I just think they've got a real Achilles heel at cornerback. What do you got, Daniel? You had a question.
Yeah, I kind of just, as we get into this rankings conversation, I'm just curious. This year feels so different when we're preparing, especially these week one ranks, because there's been no preseason games. There's been limited practice in doing this. Like, how did you approach, or how like strong do you feel about this? Understanding that, like, you know, we know just as much as what it feels like everybody else knows from
this perspective. Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, the process, and I don't want to, this is going to sound more like a campsite fire talk than it is fantasy football talk, but like, The process is not like it's very much art. It's not science, right? For the ranking, Mike is the only person. Mike Clay is the only person who has made it the science because he has this projections formula that he gets into. And I really appreciate you guys indulging me.
Well, this is our campfire. Talk, you said right? campsite,
but, like,
you know, campfire.
But you know, some weeks you go in, you feel really good about it, and you feel like you can get your first 10 players at each position pretty easily. And then all of a sudden, it becomes a little bit more difficult, and you're like, I don't quite know if I want to have Ben Roethlisberger ahead of Drew Brees or behind Drew Brees. So what I would encourage people is more seriously is just that, like, be patient with us in the same way that, you know, everybody, like, I've heard from so many coaches over the past month, like, even they don't know what to expect fully out of some players. Right. So-and-so's look good in camp. Other guys seem to be slow on the draw. Who knows? Like, the games haven't begun.
The games haven't begun, so you just – rankings are always – dicey anyway, because you're trying to predict the future. But now you're trying to predict the future with even less data than we've ever had before.
Right.
So ultimately what it comes down to is, you're right, there's probably a little bit more gut call this year than ever before. And so ultimately, I think what you try to do, at least for me, is try to, you know, if I can put my Nate Silver hat on for 1 second here, is try to the signal and the noise, right? And try to separate that. And right. So for me, I'm trying to target opportunities that at least I know what they look like. I know what Ben Roethlisberger as quarterback of the Steelers in that offense looks like.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I know what the Giants defense from last year, and I don't think they improved it in this offseason at all. I know what I think that looks like. And so, yeah, you know, give me a guy like that, that I feel confident saying, like, here's somebody that I feel like will be a top 10 player this week.
So I actually wonder if maybe we framed the conversation. So this is all good, but I think maybe the question that people are going to really ask when they say, oh, Ben Roethlisberger, you guys all have him inside the top 10. In a 10-team league, are we advocating somebody, let's say they have, so obviously Ben being in means at least one of our consensus top 10 quarterbacks is not in the top 10 rankings this week. The question would be, I think, for most people, is it worth dropping a player on your bench right now to add Ben Roethlisberger for this week? And if so, or should you add Ben Roethlisberger and drop your fringe top 10 quarterback? Like, what's the play here? Like, how does Ben make his way into your lineups?
It depends. So seriously, like, I don't know who your top 10 quarterback is. I mean, like, I'm trying to think.
That, but I'm saying a fringe
guy.
But
I'm just saying, like, my point is
I got
that,
one.
Okay.
Well, how about if you have your ride or die Daniel Jones?
Yes, sir.
Who is much lower in all of our rankings because the Steelers are an excellent defense. If you drafted Daniel Jones because you heeded the advice of the great, talented Mr. Roto, would you be adding Ben Roethlisberger this week, dropping a player on your bench, and starting him over Daniel Jones?
In a 10-team league, sure.
Okay.
I mean, like, again, it sort of depends. How big is your league? What's the depth you have? Who are you actually dropping? You know what I mean? Like, and so, like, to me, I feel like in a 10-team league, you might not even have Daniel Jones. Because, I mean, like, as high as I was on Daniel Jones, he was my QB12 this year.
So
I mean, like in a 10-team league where in my draft day manifesto, I advocated in a 10-team, one-quarterback league, only drafting one quarterback. So if you went by my manifesto, you wouldn't have Daniel Jones on your roster. Because, again, like, you know, if you followed me to the T. But so I guess my point is, it sort of all depends, but it depends on who else you have. And, like, look, I have Ben Roethlisberger at 7, but if you're going to be starting him over the guy that I have at, like, 9, you know what I mean? Like, then no, you don't do it.
I get that everything is conditional.
Correct.
I'm trying to speak generally, right?
Right.
And the idea is that, generally speaking, here's my opinion, is that if you have a quarterback who either got bumped from the top 10 this week, we'll talk about Kyler Murray in a second. Here's an example of a player that, I am telling you, I feel impersonally fine with adding Ben Roethlisberger and dropping the last player on my bench for this week. And I understand that that player could turn into be the lottery ticket that wins your league.
I'm agreeing with you.
I am telling you that, speaking generally, I am fine with dropping that player, adding Ben Roethlisberger for at least this week, and starting him because the matchup is that good and there's something to be said for starting your season out on the right foot.
100% agree with that.
All right, let's move forward to Drew Brees, the Bucs. And the Saints face off this weekend. You may have heard that already. How about, here's a great stat. You ready for this?
Sure.
Tom Brady will be an underdog for the first time in 75 regular season games on Sunday.
Wow.
That is amazing. I don't know the exact math, but I think that takes us back to, like, week 2 of the 2015 season. It was the last time Brady was an underdog. For what it's worth, the Patriots beat the Bills that game 40-32, points of plenty. But I'm up on Drew Brees. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about Tom Brady. I've got Drew Brees at 8. Matthew, you also have him at 8. Daniel, you have him outside your top 10. So I'll start with you, Daniel.
Why do you hate Drew Brees?
I don't.
Okay. Why this game, by the way, is being played in New Orleans.
Why do you hate Drew Brees at home?
There are so many quarterbacks that I actually just really like. I think they have good matchups. I think this could definitely be a high-scoring matchup, and I totally am there on that. But in order to fit some of the other guys that I liked just a little bit more, I just somebody had to drop. And so it's nothing against Drew Brees.
Drew Brees.
It could be a poor bet for someone this week.
It's certainly not personal.
I got to tell you what.
Sounds like it's personal.
I wonder if I'm too low on Drew Brees at 8. I really do.
Really?
What's not to like about them? Here's one thing that I really will be interested in this season. A lot of people talk about the resurgent Bucs defense down the stretch last year. And I get they played better, trust me. Now, they played horribly for the first half of the season. They got a little better. And I get it. Their quarterback, Jameis Winston, put them in some less than advantageous spots. But I went back and watched some of it. I also saw some of the quarterbacks they faced in the second half of last season. This was not exactly like going up against Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. We had some weeks where it was like, okay, we're playing like Nick Foles or whatever.
Allen.
Yeah, like it was like not exactly, a bunch of all-star quarterbacks there. I love the matchup. I think this is a defense that can be had. Drew Brees, we know this. He's money in the bank, especially at home. Talk about continuity. It's basically the same offense, except for the addition of Emmanuel Sanders, who last year, you know what he did? He got traded midseason and became immediately the 49ers, for a while, best wide receiver until Deebo took that role back over. I'm not worried. I wonder if I'm too low.
So you might be. I mean, I have an 8 as well. Here's what I will tell you. So he's also going to be on the love list when my love list comes out tomorrow. So
nice job.
And we could give a bunch of stats. His home numbers are amazing. His home numbers in September, his home numbers in season openers, all amazing, all amazing, blah, 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 blah. Here's what I'm telling you. Throw that out. Because as we just sort of talk about emotion and sort of gut calls, the entire offseason, has been Tom Brady's going, Brady's in Tampa Bay. Brady's in the same division. And here's Drew Brees, who is also a first ballot Hall of Famer in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew Brees' offseason has not been pleasant. The only time anyone's ever talked about Drew Brees is they were, giving him, a lot of grief about the anthem. And so I think Drew Brees is coming into this game and it's like, I'm going to light it up. I am going to light this team up. And Drew Brees has a head coach in Sean Payton who is very much of the mindset like, you bet, go light him up. Hey, we're up 43-10 in the fourth quarter. Keep throwing, Drew. Yeah. And I don't think it's going to be that. I mean, I think this is going to be a close game. I think this is going to be a great game to watch. I can't wait to see Brady and Brees, battle it out. But I guess my point is just at home in the Superdome after the offseason that Brees has had and seeing all the love given to Brady, and that's going to be all the attention of this game. Tom Brady makes his debut as the Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Drew Brees is not going away whimpering.
I like your call right there. All right, one just more quarterback. It. I agree. One more quarterback is Kyler Murray. And again, we've advocated for Kyler Murray as potentially a top three, top four.
Potentially this year's Lamar Jackson.
Correct. And yet, come out of the gates.
Yeah.
He goes to San Francisco. Now, it's worth noting, and I'm sure people will point this out right away, as I note that I have him at 10 and Daniel has him at 11 and you have him at 12. You're the lowest, but still, we're not that far off. Kyler played exceptional against the 49ers last year.
Both
games against San Francisco were very close. And we should also note that coming into the season, the 49ers, and Stefania, you can earmuffs it right now, they've got a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That being said, I still believe a lot in this 49ers defense. Like,
sure.
A lot. Like, if these players all play, you've got Nick Bosa, you've got Dee Ford, you've got Javon Kinlaw, excellent player, Eric Armstead up front, Richard Sherman leads that secondary. So, there are tons of talented pieces on that defense. We'll see if all of them play and whether Fred Warner comes off the reserve COVID list. But I a little bit lower on Kyler Murray this week. So I guess this goes back to the Ben Roethlisberger conversation, Matthew. If you drafted him, you probably made a pretty reasonable investment, maybe 5th, 6th, 7th round in Kyler Murray. By default, do you have to play him?
You don't have to play him, but I mean, it's sort of like, sort of start your studs. Again, I am at 12. Like, am I dropping somebody to start a quarterback that I have at 8 over, I guess it depends on who you're dropping and what else your league is. I will say I don't mind grabbing Roethlisberger just because I think he's going to be a valuable asset this year.
Okay.
And give you somebody to trade. In terms of Kyler Murray, the concern on Kyler Murray isn't only the matchup, and I know he played well against them last year. But the 49er defense, again, returns intact. Yes, they're going to be, you know, a couple key pieces messing, but same coach, same core. Kyler Murray's got a lot of new pieces to this offense, and he hasn't had a lot of time with him. DeAndre Hopkins has been in and out of camp. Kenyon Drake's been in and out of camp. It just feels like it's a little bit out of sync again. I have Murray as a top 12 play this week, but if you're looking for a reason why I don't have him as a top 5 guy, which is where he was going in drafts, that's why.
Yeah,
the matchup and, you know, maybe there's a little bit of rust.
I am okay. I said this before with Ben Roethlisberger. I am okay with, for week one, if you feel more comfortable with a guy with a delightful matchup, subbing him in, streaming for a week, because almost every other week, Kyler is going to be your man. Let's talk running backs. And Antonio Gibson, do you think he's a starter against the Eagles? I mean, as of right now, the team's backfield remains relatively crowded, and I know that J.D. McKissic was listed as the starting running back on their depth chart yesterday. Of course, those are all taken with basically their weight and paper. You've got him at 28, Matthew. I think you actually are maybe one of the lowest on Antonio Gibson. Daniel's got him at 20. I've got him at 23. We like Antonio Gibson. Are we ready to trust him as a flex consideration this week?
Trust is a strong word.
You love to say that. You know
I
that?
Do. Well, I mean, look, here's
football's
the thing.
Back,
I, how am I the lowest on Antonio Gibson?
Team?
I know. Well, many, many years. You know, how long do you have?
Issue, yeah.
How long do you have?
25 more minutes.
Yeah. Here's what I would say. I think the Eagles defense could be really good. I think the Eagles defense can be really good this year.
Okay.
So that's partially it.
Okay.
Partially, we don't know sort of their usage. I would say when you said, like, we ready to trust him, I think he's the Washington running back you're going to want to start.
Mm.
But I think you're going to see a lot of guys. Like, I do think you'll actually see Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissic on the field at the same time. I think you'll see a lot of kind of interesting formations. I think they're going to be very creative. I think you'll see some Logan Thomas at Wildcat, believe it or not. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of
inside
weird
info?
Stuff, huh?
Is that inside info or just?
I'm just saying. This is what I think. Who knows what I think? I don't know. I'm just one guy's opinion. I'm just saying. I think you'll see a lot of interesting things.
Okay.
With this Washington professional football team offense. And so I sort of want to see it. Like, I think he's a flex play. I am as a lower flex play than you guys do.
Yeah.
But I do think, right, I think you'll see some Peyton Barber. I think maybe you see some Bryce Love.
Right.
And I just think it's a bad matchup.
Yeah, I think
it's a bad matchup.
Understanding that a lot of people that are listening to this podcast and a lot of people on ESPN play in 10-team leagues where you start two running backs and one flex. PPR means you're more likely to lean on a wide receiver. I get it if you need to wait and see mo with Antonio Gibson, because as much excitement as there is surrounding the player, bad matchup as you're describing. And also, like, just because we've been excited about him, it does not mean that the Washington football team immediately plans to utilize him with a 15-touch-per-game role. We'll see.
The other thing is, and tell me if I'm crazy here.
Okay.
Tell me if I'm wearing my burgundy and gold glasses here.
Okay.
I think the Eagles win this game.
I agree.
But I think Washington plays them tough.
Yes.
I think Washington plays them tough. I think that it's not a blowout, which is what I think the Eagles are banged up on offense, obviously, right? I mean, so it's going to be DeSean Jackson, who will have a huge game in the tight ends. Like, that's all they have in the passing game. Miles Sanders is day-to-day, too. So, first off, Philadelphia's not 100% healthy on offense. And secondly, Washington has a really good defensive front. Their secondary has some question marks, but they have a really good defensive front. And I don't know. Like, I just think home opener, not home opener, but just whatever, you know, the season opener, division game, you know, Coach Rivera, new mentality, everything that I think they play him tough.
Okay.
I think Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera are going to have that defense fired up. And I think they play him tough. So my point is that they're not going to be in crazy comeback mode.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, so. That's sort of my gut call on that.
Peyton Barber.
I just think it'll be more of a mixture. The argument for Antonio Gibson is that they're going to use him Chris McCaffrey-like, and he might get, you know, 10 receptions in this game.
Mm.
That's the pro Antonio Gibson argument.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. I have him at 28.
Okay, let's move forward here. David Montgomery, assuming he sits, and by the way,
what's weird is I love, love, love Antonio Gibson.
I love him
this year. Like, I have him much higher than his current ADP.
All right, let's examine this possibility that David Montgomery sits for the Bears. I actually don't think David Montgomery is going to sit in week one.
Crazy.
A little bit of intel there, but we'll see for sure. Things can change quickly. But where does
Did we just get
going?
A scoop?
No, I mean,
from
I just
scoop
said
Yates?
This is just a little bit of I don't have my hat, so
I know.
Just a little bit.
I really want him to wear a hat. I want to wear one of the old newspaper hats that says scoop.
Problem is, when you got hair like that, you just can't cover it up, Matthew.
No.
I mean, you gotta let it be loud and proud for as long as you have it. You know what I mean?
I will say, you know, Secret School takes a lot of, you know, has a lot of fun with me and takes some shots at me.
Yeah.
But if I may take one moment just to say thank you to Secret Squirrel, if I can do that.
Uh-oh.
I just want to say thank you, Secret Squirrel, for not having me do the sport clips read.
You are welcome. You know, I thought about it and I was like, I did that last time. I don't need to do it again.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I just appreciate that. Field has a luxurious mane of thick hair. should do the sport clips read. I appreciate that. Anyway, so we're talking about Dave Montgomery.
Yeah, we were talking about Dave. Do you like put like the stuff they put on chia pets? Do you like put on your hair ever?
I've thought about it.
Okay.
I've absolutely thought about it. Tim Hasselbeck has said to me more than once, he's like, listen, Tim Hasselbeck, who we love, you know, who's on Fantasy Football Now for years with us, Tim just said about my hair, he says, listen, you got to fire it before it quits on you. He has told me that I just should shave it all off and just, because it's obviously heading that way, you know, and just like, he's just like, right. He's just like, yeah, you got to fire it before it quits on you. And I'm just like, look at that. I do need to go get a little bit of a haircut today, because it's like, you know, like I don't have a lot of hair, but what I do have is like sort of growing out. It like kind of looks.
You can schedule an appointment at Sport Clips, Matthew Berry.
Like, right, go to Sport Clips.
I gotta go. I
may
go to Sport Clips or something like that. All right, this is uncomfortably close.
Let's
talk about David Montgomery. And before we get into Tariq Cohen's potential value if Montgomery is out, we might as well go to the expert herself, Stefania. What's your sense on whether David Montgomery might be available for the Bears on Sunday?
Field, they really haven't said much about it. He returned to practice yesterday after injuring himself nearly 2 weeks ago, non-contact. I think a lot of people saw the video where he slipped, stretched that groin muscle, and obviously was in discomfort at the time. And the thing, and I said this shortly after he was injured, we talked about it, the problem with these type of injuries is they are very difficult to get fully past. So you can feel really good, you can be out there practicing, you can do everything you need to do, and then you get in a game situation where you really put a lot of demand on it, especially for running back, where you have to plant and cut laterally or even just explode forward, and all of a sudden you have a re-injury. So I hear your intel that it sounds like he will play week one, but I'd be really nervous if I had him on my roster about starting him that first week. I'd really want to see how much he was utilized and how he looked, frankly, running. I'll probably be nervous about aggravation of this injury for several weeks.
All right, Stefania, good stuff there. So maybe even if he does play David Montgomery, you don't feel confident in him. So I ask you this, Matthew. If David Montgomery sits, and don't cut me off here, where is Tariq Cohen's value rank against the Lions and what could potentially be an NFC Championship game preview on Sunday?
Look, I still think he's a flex play, you know, and a lower one at that, because if David Montgomery were out, Tariq Cohen, I don't think gets a significant increase in touches. Okay. I think you would see, believe it or not, I think you would see Cordarrelle Patterson get a decent amount of run. I think you'd see Ryan Nall get some work. Like, I think it'd be a little bit of running back by committee. You know, I think they'd probably design some bootlegs for Mitchell Trubisky. But ultimately, so Tariq Cohen to me would, again, be sort of a high-end flex play.
I agree. Yeah. And again, Kyle's noted this. Never had 15 carries in a game. He's not a workhorse back, as you just said. So I just think the value in Tariq Cohen, but it's always been since he entered the league, top four in terms of, I believe, receptions and targets amongst running backs.
I will say this, though, really quickly. If you have ever watched the Detroit Lions linebackers, you know that one of the things that they're not particularly great at is defending against the pass, specifically against running backs. So like that's why, for me, having him up a little bit higher from that standpoint,
sure.
Not that I don't love those guys, but there is at least an opportunity, and if David Montgomery doesn't play, I'm assuming they'll utilize him just a little bit more. Even a couple more catches could go, you know, a long ways.
100%. And in fairness, there's a lot of things the Detroit Lions linebackers don't do well.
That's right.
It's hard. I don't think it's fair of you to pick out just one thing.
That's fair.
Fast pace assessments of wide receivers with new quarterbacks. Let's dive into them for week one. Confidence level. All right. back and forth. Here we go. Let's start with Julian Edelman, Matthew. You've got him as a wide receiver 28. I've got him at wide receiver 25. Dop at 28 as well. Your thoughts on Edelman's outlook right out of the gates against the Dolphins?
I think the passing offense goes through him. It always has, and I think it will continue to be so. So
feel the same way. I think he winds up being a value this season. We've talked about that a ton. I get it. It's not Tom Brady. I also get that he was number 9 amongst fantasy wide receivers last year. He's being drafted outside the top 30.
The concern is only touchdown equity.
Sure.
That's the only concern with Edelman. And health, obviously. But
totally.
Yeah. But, healthy.
You know, he's very healthy right now and a guy that's determined. Although, keep an eye on his snap count. This is actually an observation. I just want to quickly mention this. I've heard several coaches talk about this publicly now, is that, and this is not reflective just of Julian Edelman, but Josh McDaniels is one of the coaches that talked about this, is that nobody has played a preseason game going into this season. You might see players, with rare exceptions, subbed in and out a little bit more at the beginning of the year, just because, right, guys are getting their sea legs, or in this case, their football legs, underneath them. So don't be surprised if you see some top wide receivers maybe sitting 5, 7, 10 snaps a game that they might not normally sit at all.
And that's a great point to bring up, especially, by the way, if, like, all of a sudden you see your running back that you thought was a workhorse, you know, taking a series or two off, don't panic just yet. Like, yeah, that, you know totally. What I mean? Like, don't panic.
If Chase Edmonds is in for the third drive for the Cardinals, that's okay.
Yeah, don't freak out.
That's fine. Let's move forward here with Stephon Diggs. We have him as a high-end wide receiver 4. Daniel's got him right at the back of his wide receiver 3 rankings. The matchup was great, Matthew. Like, I wouldn't be stunned if he went for a long one on Sunday against the Jets, but volume and accuracy down the field are probably the two things that I'm most mindful of with he and Josh Allen.
True, but you can't ask for a better matchup than the Jets here. I mean, that's a team that was a challenge defensively and then lost, you know, some of their best players in this offseason. So, yeah, I do like, he's boom or bust. Stephon Diggs has always been boom or bust, and, you know, even more so. But I think more boom than bust this week against the Jets. Josh Allen will make the love list as well.
Okay, 2 Bengals going against the Chargers. Very good secondary, despite the injury to Derwin James this offseason. A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd, each of us have him ranked, or have both of them ranked, outside the top 30. So wide receiver 4s, is there upside, though, this week?
There's upside, but there's concern, right? Okay. You've got a rookie quarterback making his first start against a very good secondary here. And so do I think Boyd or Green will have a good game? I don't know that both do. So that's the concern. You know, I mean, depends on who. It's rare that you would roster both guys.
Yeah. Well, so, we did talk about that during the preseason. Like, you might actually be choosing between the two of them, but you're right. I don't think it's particularly common for people to have both. Nothing wrong with the good news about all these players we're talking about, basically all of them, is that based off where you drafted them, as we talked about with Brandon Cooks yesterday. Yeah, if you're, like, concerned about Brandon Cooks, even if he does play, you didn't draft Brandon Cooks as your starting wide receiver.
No.
Unless you're in a 16-team league with 3 wide receiver spots, you did not draft him to be a starter. So there is an element of patience.
I like the Bengals offense. I like Green and Boyd specifically this year. I love Mixon, too. I'm high on the Bengals offense as a whole this year. I just think it may be a little bit of a slow start against the Chargers. And I also think that's going to be a slow-paced game.
I'm concerned about the offensive line just being overwhelmed because you have maybe the best pass-rushing duo and Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram against an offensive line in Cincy that gets Jonah Williams back, their first-round pick last year. But the biggest question mark on a roster that already has several other question marks. We're going to talk about rookie wide receivers in just a moment. But first, Matthew, we pass it over to you.
Okay. Field, did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies?
Wow.
The 0610 needs its own RV. I'm just putting that out there.
We do.
We really do need our own RV.
Listen, and an RV.
Yeah, and by the way, if we get an RV, we can insure it with Geico. Because that would be 15% on top of the money that Geico already saves you. Again, 15% credit on motorcycle, car, and RV policies. It's an extra 15% on top of the money. Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? For Field Yates to tweet about Jalen Ramsey? He's already done that.
What else you got?
As nice as that sounds, that probably is never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
The rising generation of NFL superstars have been dropping dimes and creating space for years, way before they got into the league. But now, it's your turn. Create your own highlight reel and X-Factor abilities and innovative new skill stick controls. Swag out and win in style in the new creative backyard football-inspired mode, The Yard. Celebrate your style, showcase your creativity, and rise to fame in a way that only you can. Go all out in Madden NFL 21, available right now. And Field Generation Rising is brought to you by EA Sports NFL Madden 21. And there was a lot of hype around this rookie wide receiver class, Field Yates. But I wonder if there's anyone that has more hype, and especially with what the speed he has been given in Madden is, than Henry Ruggs, who is the wide receiver 1 for the Las Vegas Raiders. Las Vegas Raiders this year.
And push-ups for you as well. He might be, Daniel. He could be. He was the first wide receiver drafted, as Daniel actually gets down and does his 10 push-ups right now. I don't know if we have a camera that can see Daniel, but pretty impressive form right there. Good velocity with those push-ups as well. Oh, he just fell to the floor. No, I'm just kidding. Daniel, doing great job there.
Oh my.
Well done, dude.
Thanks, buddy.
But I feel like for a push-up, shouldn't your chest has to touch, right? Like, his for him, it was just his beard.
Well, I count the beard.
I don't think your chest is supposed to touch. I think your chest only touches when you collapse on the ground afterwards.
Yeah, speaking generally, I thought it was a pretty well-executed set of push-ups there for Daniel. Let's talk about Henry
better
Ruggs,
than me.
He ends up going 12th overall.
You know the push-ups I like? Those freeze pop push-ups.
Wow.
Thought I was going somewhere else, didn't you?
Pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, I did not know where you were going, but that was pretty good right there.
Yeah, my kids love them too.
They are really good.
Henry Ruggs goes 12th overall in the real draft, and then he goes in the 12th round on average in fantasy drafts. You have him as wide receiver 47, Matthew. You're actually the most optimistic. I think as we sort of circle back to the conversation we've had a few times over about the Raiders wide receivers, it's probably unwise to roster more than one. You kind of have to choose one
right
amongst the group that includes Bryan Edwards and Hunter Renfrow and Henry Ruggs. And I think the philosophical conversation is this. Bryan Edwards has generated the most hype during the preseason. And as a result of that, people are saying, like, hey, maybe he's the one you need. At the same time, he was a third-round pick, and I understand he fell due to injury considerations, while Henry Ruggs was the first-round pick, incredibly explosive athlete. So you're still in on, if you're rostering one, it's still Ruggs, and is he worth more than an end-of-bench spot right now?
I don't believe he's worth more than an end-of-bench spot in a redraft league.
Okay.
So we'll just start there. But yes, I'm in on him as, you know, once Tyrell Williams went out for the year, like, you know, I felt like that raised the value here. And so, you know, Ruggs is kind of a game breaker, is a guy that has big playability. And so, look, I think he's going to be tough to roster because I think similar to sort of DeSean Jackson and other players of that ilk, like it's going to be hard to know when their big blow up games are going to come. You know, like they're great in best ball type formats. But having said that, I think when the sort of the dust settles, I think, you know, Henry Ruggs is going to have put together a handful of really good games, and he'll wind up as a top 50 fantasy wide receiver this year.
CeeDee Lamb's in a really good spot with the Cowboys because no one's going to be paying attention to him. Well, I shouldn't say no one, but teams can't focus all of their attention on CeeDee Lamb, or else Amari Cooper's going to feast, and potentially Michael Gallup will feast as well. Worth noting, Cooper's been a bit banged up going into the season, so we're already kind of seeing the potential value of Lamb in the sense that we talk about running back insurance policies a lot. CeeDee Lamb could be an elite insurance policy at wide receiver.
Look, Randall Cobb, at the time, there were a couple of weeks last year where Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and Randall Cobb were all healthy.
Right.
And those weeks, Randall Cobb was a top 30 fantasy wide receiver points per game. Like, so this is an offense that can support three fantasy-relevant wide receivers.
Yeah.
And so I was in a dynasty draft last night, and I'm a little more running back needy, so I went J.K. Dobbins with my first round pick.
Okay.
You know, I'm all in on Dobbins this year. But I had CeeDee Lamb as the number one wide receiver. If Dobbins didn't fall to me, I was taking CeeDee Lamb. I have him as the number one rookie wide receiver in dynasty.
Filed this one away around this time last year, maybe even a little bit earlier in the preseason. Our friend of the program, Jim Nagy, executive director of the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, Jim does a great job.
I've known him for a long time. And I remember he was starting to get going on Twitter. You know, he sort of asked me just like, you know, any suggestions? And I said, hey, Jim, like, you're a scout. Like, I would say offer scouting advice, right? And he was like, if you're a fantasy, if you want to become a fantasy expert, offer fantasy advice. But you know, I don't think you don't want to really be delving into fantasy football all that much in the same way that people that, you know, don't know scouting don't want to be delving into scouting all that much. And he was like, I totally agree. He said, though, I have one thought for this year. My one fantasy football nugget is that I think Terry McLaurin is going to be an outstanding player as a rookie and look a lot more like a first round pick than a third round pick. He has dipped his toe one more time this year, and he obviously was very ahead of the curve on that one and was very prescient with that call. His player that he has anointed in a comparable to McLaurin level that I've seen on Twitter, and I'll go make sure that Jim still feels this way, is Van Jefferson of the Los Angeles Rams. Son of a coach and a longtime NFL player, Sean Jefferson. The Rams do kind of have a need for a third wide receiver, and I know that Josh Reynolds is going to be a part of their offense for sure. But just sort of file that one away.
Well,
he's been one of my favorite recent late-round flyer picks.
I like the call there a lot. And Van Jefferson has turned a lot of heads in Rams camp. Mm-hmm. Like, my expectation is that if he's not the starting third wide receiver, and you know, out there in three wide sets, he's going to have, you know, more snaps than you would think. I think sort of the default thinking is that it's going to be Josh Reynolds. The question is, the Rams offense can absolutely support three fantasy relevant pass catchers. The question becomes whether it is Van Jefferson is the third or it's Tyler Higbee.
Fair.
That's the question. That's fair. I agree with you. In dynasty leagues, I think Van Jefferson. Deeper leagues, I think that makes a lot of sense as well. I'm with you.
September 9th, late round bucket of flyers. Before we say goodbye, we have to, of course, pass it over to Kyle for trivia. What say you, Kyle Soppy?
Alrighty, we're talking some rookie receivers, so I want to know who are the two active rookie active receivers that had 5 20-point games as a rookie in the AFC.
Okay, so AFC wide receivers that had at least
so they're
20
currently
points.
Wide receivers in the AFC.
They did it in the AFC.
They did it in the AFC.
So Odell will be excluded in this case.
Right.
Passing that one along. There. Okay.
They did in the AFC, two active wide receivers that had 5 20-point games as a rookie.
As a rookie.
In the AFC.
All right, Stefania, you want in on this, and do you have a guess?
This is so annoying.
I'll guess.
Okay, what do you got?
I'm going to guess.
Go to me last.
I'm going to guess Sammy. Stop talking. Sammy Watkins.
Who are you talking to?
And.
Who's talking to me?
Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas never been in the AFC.
That's okay.
I don't have the thing in front of me. Sammy Watkins is one then.
Okay.
All right. I'm so confident she's just going to answer half the question.
AJ Brown and AJ Green are field guesses. Matthew, what are your guesses?
AJ Brown's a great guess. I can't believe I didn't think about it. I put AJ Green and Tyreek Hill.
Oh, good one. I thought about Tyreek Hill as well. Kyle, we have a.
Tyreek Hill made it.
Field Yates with the split is good enough for the win. Keenan Allen was the other one with A.J. Brown. Keenan Allen 2013, A.J. Brown last season.
Okay, A.J. Brown, I get a point. My dominant streak of trivia continues. It's at like 3 days.
That's congratulations. I won yesterday.
Okay. My dominant streak
of one. I
won
with John Ross yesterday.
I've got dominant streak of one. What do you got?
Rainy Stefania.
Yeah.
The curse of Stefania Bell has arrived. We're less than 1 minute away from saying goodbye.
Ever since Jeopardy, I got cursed.
Hey,
I know.
If you have drafts or you're looking for something for this weekend, whether it's DFS or season long, rotopass.com. It includes a subscription to ESPN Plus and 5 other great fantasy football sites. The promo code 06010 gets you 10% off. It's an amazing resource, the ultimate fantasy football resource, rotopass.com.
Stefania _ESPN on Twitter and Stefania Bell on Instagram. She bought it. Mm-hmm. Bought it from somebody. Yeah. Stefania, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thursday game preview, injuries, picks. You know how the drill works. We look forward to that. In the meantime, for Matthew, Daniel, Kyle, everybody else, Stefania, I'm Phil. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Peace out!
Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
Go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre Fantasy Advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Loyal 06010 listeners.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.